Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
I've been thinking, Jordan, about unfinished business.
Oh, boy.
You know the football quarterback Tom Brady?
I do, yes.
Have you heard of this guy?
Tom Brady. I have.
Yeah.
I don't follow football.
You would know him as the husband of Gisele Bündchen because you follow all the supermodels.
I do. I'm a huge model head. the last time I ate out was at the supermodel cafe.
What a coincidence. The last time I ate out was Kathy Ireland, if you know what I'm talking about.
Wow.
Supermodel Kathy Ireland. I had a hall pass. I guess. I don't know. I don't really know what the premise of that was.
Oral only hall pass.
Yeah. You know Tom Brady, the football quarterback?
Yes.
He's 56 years old.
Mm-hmm. That's a fun age.
Yeah, it is. It's fun. Just got himself a Harley. He retired from football the other day, like a month or two ago. I don't know. He had been playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which is every boy's dream, mm-hmm. is to one day don the orange of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, get to live in Tampa, St. Pete, Clearwater, maybe.
That's Central Florida, South Florida?
It's Florida. And coastal Florida.
Mm.
And so anyway, he used to be on the Patriots. He won a bunch of Super Bowls. He's the greatest quarterback of all time. He had a MAGA hat in his locker for a while.
Yeah, I guess I know him as being like a hero to the people of like New England.
Yeah, sure. And he's the jersey that a guy who flips you off wears.
Okay.
And, after he finished with the Patriots, he went as a 74-year-old to the Buccaneers, mm-hmm. And won a Super Bowl for the people of the part of Florida that Tampa is in. Tampa, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, that area. It's not,
okay,
not the area where Disney World is. It's different. That's a different area. So he announced his retirement because the more football you play, the more damaged your brain becomes until ultimately you die or murder someone.
Mm-hmm.
And it made a lot of sense. He had won over 7,000 Super Bowls, the most of anyone ever. And he's married to a supermodel who seems to be very indulgent of his choice of career and locker hat. And he's got children. You know, children at home that he could go play with and stuff. And it's been about a month or maybe 2 months, and he just announced that he is unretired. He's going to come back to the... There was some speculation. He's from San Mateo, California. Some speculation he'd come back and play for the 49ers, his hometown childhood team. But he's really dedicated to the people of the Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg area.
Right.
Miami is one area, and then another area is Disney World, and this is a third area.
Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about Disney World in Florida, does the portion of Disneyland that's Avatar-themed have its own football team? That's the one I would want to play for, the Orlando Navi.
Yeah. I mean, you know me, Jordan. I'm fucking nuts for Avatar.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for the 17 sequels that he's making to the movie that was successful 23 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Despite being a really horrible movie. Just was awful. One of the worst movies I've ever seen. I'm really pumped about those
new movies. I shouldn't have even said Avatar. I'm sorry. To keep talking about the football thing, where are you going with this? I shouldn't have even said Avatar.
There's a reason that Tom Brady came back to the NFL.
Just imagine I said the Wolverine or something. Sorry.
Yeah, I didn't really like that one either.
Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah. 310 to Yuma remake.
Yeah, 310 to Yuma. Yeah, I love that. That was great. Sure. Just watched that recently.
The original or the remake?
The remake, yeah.
I thought it was good.
I thought it was fucking great. On a real Russell Crowe kick, Watching Master and Commander right now. Also fucking nice. Rules. Absolutely yeah. rules. So Tom Brady came back to the NFL, and there's one reason that he came back to the NFL at 74 years old. Instead of going and spending time with his supermodel wife and his children, he donned the orange and whatever of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the NFL's most storied franchise, because he has unfinished business, Jordan.
Wow.
What do you think the unfinished business is?
Well, boy, not knowing a lot about football.
I don't think it could possibly be football related, because he's done yeah. all the football things, right? Like, he won 75 Super Bowls, and then he proved that it wasn't just because he was with the Patriots. He went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. He won the Super Bowl with them. He brought Gronk back. Gronk came back for him.
Gronk. Fun.
Yeah. By the way, have you seen the Gronk area, the new Gronk area of Disney World? Tremendous.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
You can ride a lifelike Gronk. You can feel it breathing. That's what they say.
So I don't think it could be football.
Oh, sorry.
I don't think it could be football related. He's got too many.
You have a thing.
Yeah. No, I don't have a thing. I'm proposing as a premise, what is Tom Brady's unfinished business?
Sure. I guess my guess would be, has someone murdered his father?
Wow. No, that's Michael Jordan.
I don't know. And if someone had murdered his father, I would feel really bad, and I would tell Brian to cut this out. But hopefully Tom Brady's father is alive and well, and we can joke about him going on some sort of Kill Bill-esque, you know, rampage to...
Again, that's Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan clearly had a lot of unfinished business. The murder... wanted to play professional baseball.
Mm-hmm. Space Jam. Wanted to defeat the Monstars.
wanted to win an NBA championship with Tony Kukoc. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of unfinished business, Michael Jordan. It was obvious why Michael Jordan came back. With Tom Brady, it's less clear. I mean, certainly a vengeance is possible.
Vengeance,
but we don't know who murdered
classic
who.
Unfinished.
Yeah,
classic unfinished business.
Yeah, well, let's ask Nick, our guest on the program, a favorite guest on this show, a television
repeat
television comedy writer who apparently provides his own arena style intro.
I got a whole soundboard set up.
Nick Adams, hi Nick.
What's up, fellows? How are we?
I know that you're a big basketball fan. I don't know if you follow football. But certainly, you know, Tom Brady is a quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's used to play for the,
he throws the forward passes.
Yeah. What would you, he's the first quarterback you've enjoyed since Johnny Unitas. Y.A. Kittle? Is that
Tittle.
His name?
Tittle. All time sports name.
Y.A. Tittle. Nick, what would you guess is Tom Brady's unfinished business that's brought him back to the NFL?
I think there are a handful of ex-athletes or like athletes that come back. I think there are guys that like miss the competition. I think there are guys that see someone else and they go, I'm as good as that guy. I'm definitely, maybe I'm not as good as I used to be, but I'm definitely as good as this idiot running around.
And to his credit, he is as good as that guy.
He is as good as any guy who's ever played that position. And it pains me to say it because I loathe him and detest him, but I don't think there's anything else in his brain. Do you know what I mean?
Like I think that's exactly
what
it is. He's
been football man since, you know, 15 years old, and he hasn't developed anything else. You know, even when they asked him about the Trump hat, he couldn't even muster a defense of it. It was just like words coming out of face hole with ball cap.
And then later he went to the Biden White House and made fun of Trump.
Yeah.
I don't even know who is this man. I think he may have married Giselle Bundchen accidentally.
There's also like if you ever watched the Jessica Simpson Nick Lachey reality show, like, you know, before Jessica Simpson really was like fully in on the joke of her persona, this was like her kind of figuring it out. And there's a moment where you realize like, oh, Nick Lachey like didn't know what he was getting himself into. Like he had no idea. Like there are these scenes where she's like, how do I figure out what movie's playing? And he's just like, what? What are you? Are you that? You're that stupid? And you could like watch him realize in real time.
He's like, I'm Nick Lachey, and I know that.
He seemed like a very normal guy who just was realizing in real time that, oh, this is not like an act. You're just really this vacuous. And I feel like that's what Tom Brady is. It's just like, you know, whatever you think is on his face, that there's no deeper thought going on behind his eyes than at that moment.
It's like being married to him is like being married to mathematician Paul Erdos, the mathematician famous for not being able to do his own laundry because he didn't know how, and he didn't know how to cook food. So he would go to other mathematicians' houses, stay there for a while, have them and their partners cook and wash him. And just solved their math problems for them while he was there.
Or as we call it in the comedy industry, committing to the bit.
Yeah, exactly.
He's... Do you have any math you need done around the house?
Just leave your math out on the porch and I'll do it for you.
You know, go off, have a nice lunch. I'll come back and I'll get rid of all the remainders.
Yeah.
It's nice.
I feel like at some point...
pulling his weight.
At some point, Tom Brady's like legs will be broken forever or something. Like he'll get in whatever, like the football equivalent of a ski accident.
No, he's gonna live to like 112 and be like, it's like people like him and Kissinger, man. They're just never going to. Like,
the classic pairing,
you know,
of Henry Kissinger,
sure,
and Tom Brady.
They're both war criminals of a sort.
And again, I don't know hardly anything about this man, but does he not have the potential to like go into, you know, like everybody loves Charles Barkley and Shaq's, like, you know, goofing around on stuff, you know, goofing around with the general or, you know, whatever those guys do, they goof around and they're great. And every time someone's like, hey, look at this thing Shaq did, I look at it, I'm like, ah, that's great. Does Tom Brady have that in him? Does he have a Space Jam? Does he have a, you know, campaign?
It's amazing how swagless he is. Like, you've spent your life around cool, rich black men and none of it rubbed off. Like, not a bit of it rubbed off at all.
You could just picture him in the clubhouse going, oh, okay. That's what he's got. That's what he's got to offer for his teammates. You guys want to talk about reading defenses? Because... that's what I think. Peyton, his contemporary Peyton Manning,
was funny.
Yeah, funny and charming. Like, you know, all these quarterbacks are really, look, football is by far the most complicated and brain intensive of the popular American sports.
If you're an NFL quarterback, you are intelligent in some way.
Yeah, you got to be some kind of weird genius to be a quarterback in the NFL. But like, so Peyton Manning was that, but Peyton Manning, charming, funny, and he was kind of a contemporary of Tom Brady, only he retired 75 years ago. Like, somehow Tom Brady in his mid-50s is still the best quarterback, even though he can like barely throw the ball 10 yards at this point, just through sheer force of football intellect. But I agree, Nick, it's possible that is all he is in the world.
If you see the picture of Tom Brady from the draft combine, right? Like they're in like shorts and shirtless. And so the scouts can see their muscle tone and how wide their shoulders are or whatever.
Check their teeth.
Their haunches.
Yeah. They measure the width of their hands.
It is very slave-ish.
100. It is so upsetting.
Now jump high. Just jump up in the air.
Yeah, let's see what you can
three
do.
Three bales. He jumped three bales high. What? What did you say? Right. No, I'm sorry. Feet.
Yeah.
Sometimes I say bales when I mean
feet. Yeah. Now just run around that cotton gin and come right back.
Well, this is an interesting, this I think poses an interesting question, is if we at some point, you know, retired out of our fields and had enough, and money wasn't an issue.
Right. I mean, not that it is,
you know,
we're extraordinarily wealthy thanks to this program.
Sure. But yeah, if we, you know, if we shut it down.
You got one of those Priuses, Ethereum, like the little one.
Oh yeah, compact for city, yeah, for city driving.
I only got 75,000 miles on the Volvo.
Parks like a dream.
Mm-hmm. Up in the hill.
Yeah, if you know, something happens, we're set for life. The time has come for us to hang up our tools, the tools of our trade.
Right. The three tools of our trade.
What do you do? Do you go crazy? Do you go insane? Do you start painting little George W. Bush pictures? Does it sound fun?
I don't think my wife would be crazy about it. I probably would do this to my wife.
Just podcast at her face?
You would podcast at her. I mean, what is a relationship but finding someone to podcast at? Not so, with.
Yeah, we wouldn't know. Mm-hmm.
I think if I was Tom Brady, I think just like rich and married to a supermodel, I could just ride it out with that. I'm pretty sure.
Are you capable of relaxing, Nick? Because I'm not.
I am. I'm very, I mean, at relaxing at that level is like, you know, oh yeah, Jesse's flying this guy in to teach a Sly Stone seminar, you know, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, while he makes a dinner, like, sure, I can relax at that level. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I would definitely give my, my guest house to funk scholar Ricky Vincent. No doubt about that. If he could hang, if he could just hang around like OJ's friends.
This year's recipient of the Thorne Prize goes to...
it's your one-year fellowship to hang out in my guest house and talk about Sly Stone with me.
It's a shit ton of money, but you just have to hang out at Jesse's house.
Yeah.
There's some light math. Yeah.
You might have to... You're like some driving light, his kids to school.
Some light math.
Jordan, do you feel like you could relax? And what would you do if you retired from the comedy game?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would still like doing creative things. I think I'm not one of these, like, I'm not one of these, I think, okay, and I think when people do this, I think there's a little bit of posturing behind it, but I'm not one of those, like, writers who's like, oh, writing, I have to write, I hate it, and the best part is when you're done. I'm like, no, it's fun to write, come up with stuff, come up with, I mean, do you not really not like it that much? I think there's a little bit of, like, artiste, you know.
Yeah, that's for novelists. If you're like
whatever
writing bits for Fallon, save it.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
But if you're writing a novel, sure, complain about the process.
Yeah, if you're yeah, anyway, but I am not that. I definitely like coming up with stuff, and certainly it's challenging and there's frustrating parts, but I like I like making stuff up and writing and working with people. So yeah, I mean, I think I would want to find something that was like, you know, I don't know. You
stitch and bitch.
Teach some, stitch and bitch. Teach some kids about
fire.
What's
safety.
The hump? What's the story hump? You guys know the story hump. Yeah, sure.
You want to teach some kids the word denouement? Yeah.
There you go.
Rising action. So yeah.
I do have a retirement plan, kind of. Ooh, I don't know if I've ever told you guys this, right? No. So I'm going to write comedy as long as I can write comedy.
Right.
Then I'll write dramedy.
Uh-huh.
Then I'll write dramas.
Yeah.
When I'm finally aged out of writing anybody's TV shows, I'm just going to go full on and audition for the dad on every like Disney or Nickelodeon show.
Oh, God.
I want to be the dad on like That's So Raven or something, because it's the sweetest gig in TV. You're in like three scenes every episode. Mm-hmm. Maybe every now and then you get up. What's going on in here? Because it smells like fish. Kills, just murders the whole room.
I wish the home listener could have seen Nick's mugging.
Yeah. Nick sold
because
that.
When he said, yeah. It smells like fish.
Yeah, that was a priceless take. I can see that. You know, really I know good. A guy.
Yeah, me too.
I know a guy. He was a dad at my kid's preschool. And he was just a wonderful, wonderful man. His name is Satara Falcon, and Satara works in children's television sometimes. Sometimes he works as a, you know, behind the scenes person, and sometimes he works as an actor. You know, he's like a he's a working actor, but his affect is such that he's best suited as a performer for children's television and horror movies. And because he's just an expressive man, you know what I mean? He just is a person with he's just got a lot of light for bushels. And whenever he's working on a live action children's television show, I just think how much fun that seems like it would be. It's like, it's what you want when you get into the entertainment industry, which is essentially to be in a high school play, but you're the star of it and everyone loves it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know exactly what you mean. And you really would want it to be a multi-camera situation, so the workload's lighter. Oh, yeah. You're really only taping one day a week. First 2 days, you're waiting for the writers to give you the script. And you do want to be a supporting cast member. You don't want the weight of this thing. You want to be, I think Andy Kindler, the great Andy Kindler, one of the funniest people in the history of the world. I think he was on the Wizards of Waverly Place for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what a dream for him to just walk into a scene, go, make an Andy Kindler face and then leave.
It is really amazing how many of the our hero comedians from the Largo scene are now doing that.
Yeah.
And fucking good for them. Yes. Good for them.
What a great job.
Paid, do something fun, fucking nail it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have auditioned in my life. I have done some auditioning. I have not gotten a lot of things. I was not very successful, nor did I like it that much.
You've met Fritz Coleman. We get it.
I have met Fritz Coleman and basically pieced. I'm like, where do I go from here?
Yeah. That's the weatherman on NBC4.
Yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis after that.
You went to Italy to learn how to make weather.
Mm-hmm. But I did audition for a few of these types of things. And, you know, I'm like, okay, I understand this is a bigger kind of stylized kind of acting. And I've done sketch comedy.
And you've got a look, Jordan. You're adorable.
You're sure.
You know, all you got to do is what you did on NBC with NBC4's Fritz Coleman. Just go on screen and go, dude. And it sells.
The parts I was auditioning for were adult service worker who's mad at the stars.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Too rambunctious.
Too rambunctious.
This says employees only.
Yeah.
So I'll give you an example of kind of how one of these auditions went. Nick, give me a line from a side to one of these things.
Excuse me, did you order the salad?
Okay. So here's my go into it energy. Excuse me, did you order the salad? And then the casting director would be like, bigger, bigger. This is kids TV. Bigger. And then excuse me, did you order the salad? Bigger. We need to see it. Bigger. We want to laugh. We want to laugh.
These children are still learning about denouement and rising action.
Yeah. it's the story hump. And then it just to the point where I was just like screaming, did you order the salad? And then them just being so mad that I wasn't going big enough.
Yeah. You were playing, by the way, auditioning for a character named Sal Ladd.
Right.
Who wears a suit of salad.
Name, bitch. Oh, my God. It's the worst.
He's Sal's kid sidekick. I failed at that pretty miserably.
I definitely wouldn't want to audition for things. I want to make that clear. I'm offer only.
Offer only.
I auditioned for my pal Charlie Todd invented Improv Everywhere, the thing where they go and do big things in public and mostly in New York, you know, that everybody gets on the subway train wearing underpants or, you know, the thing where everybody froze in Grand Central Station, that kind of thing. And he's a really sweet, bright guy, really good guy. He came to L.A. to do a network television pilot when Improv Everywhere was at its hottest. And it was huge scale. And he basically didn't know that many people in LA, and he wanted to do it with people that he knew. So he just emailed me. He's like, Jesse, come out to the audition. It's a formality. You know, we'll put you in the show. I just need some people I know to be in it, you know, and I don't know that many people in LA. And I went to this audition. I felt like I was going to die the entire time. 100% of this audition that was a mere formality because my friend told me I could be on his TV pilot. I truly felt like death. I don't think, yeah, off 100% offer only. 1000% offer
it's,
only.
It's easily the worst part of the entertainment industry is auditioning. Yeah. I've done stand-up comedy in front of no people. Like, nobody came to the show. They were like, we're not canceling it. You're just going to do your jokes into the void. Like, auditioning is worse.
Yeah.
Did you ever do any of it, Nick? I know you
a little bit, a very little bit of it. But it's when you walk into a room, you're like, oh, there's five better looking versions of me. Okay, I get where this isn't going. These guys look kind of like me, but they're all taller, thinner, and like dressed better. Like, okay, we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, I feel like even for like Jordan auditioning, I remember you telling me often, Jordan, about like auditioning for like goofy stoner type parts because you have curly hair. And like, I feel like even the goofiest goof in all of show business that gets parts in things, if you meet them in real life, they're like a 9. And you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck! TV Ugly is just a good looking guy, like a good looking guy or girl. When we moved here and we had been here maybe a couple of weeks or a couple of months, and we were at the Beverly Center walking around and we saw Kim Wayans. If you remember in Living Color, she very often played like an ugly character, like her character was supposed to be, you know, repulsive or someone that you wouldn't want hitting on you or whatever. And she was like really hamming it up to make her character seem annoying. And then you see her in person, you're like, wow, that is a tall, statuesque, beautiful woman. Like with the model shoulders that only like Tilda Swinton and like runway models have. Like, but on TV, she just played this goofy, annoying. And yeah, it's crazy. It's insane.
What kind of shoulders would you say you have, Nick?
I have someone once told me that a woman on the street on Sunset told me I look like the actor Malik Yoba, but with like less broad shoulders. So I'm not
you
Malik
look like
Yoba.
A narrow Yobla.
Yeah. I was like, that's almost a compliment. And you're like way older than me, so I don't know how to take this.
Yeah. I was in an elevator with Seth Rogen once, and I got mad at how handsome he is.
He did this, and I think Jonah Hill did this, where they got like tried to get like L.A. skinny, and it's like everyone in the world was just like, "What are we doing?"
Yeah,
what, that's not you're just not, that's not how you look. That's not your body. We don't need that from you. You don't need that in your life. Just find a middle ground and be happy and healthy. You know,
Nick, do you miss stand up and performing? I take it you don't. You don't. You haven't done it in a while.
I don't miss the. And you guys knew this, the 85% of what it is, like around it, those few minutes on stage for me was usually only a few minutes. But it's incredible. And when you have a good night, whether it's like in an actual comedy club or in a small theater with like 15 people watching and it goes really well, there's nothing like it. I still, I miss that, but you know, I feel like between being in writers' rooms and doing stuff like this and just, you know, being in a writer's room, which, you know, has been hard to not do for the past 2 years, you start to feel like, oh, I get like kind of the best part of stand up, but I'm sitting here drinking, you know, soda and eating chips with these knuckleheads. And, you know,
someone brings
no
you a really premium sandwich. Yeah. Just brings it straight to where you're sitting.
Yeah. I can talk to people who are lawyers, who are physicians, who are very successful in business. Without fail, when you tell another adult that they just take care of your lunch every day and bring it right to you, their jaw just drops to the fucking floor.
It's like, astonishing.
I don't care if you're a Supreme Court justice, whatever. And like, free lunch every day. Yep, every day.
And we still complain about it. And we're like mad.
You're expected
and
to complain about it.
It takes up too much time.
The complaining is a part of the job. The That's what they expect.
Yeah.
Yeah. I miss that and just doing dumb bits and, you know, like, it's the best thing.
Dumb bits. Yeah.
I got to write like one thing in a like professional context, which was when the Sklar brothers had a TV pilot for their podcast, for a TV version of their podcast, a sports jokes daily show, basically. I got to be in it, and I went in and wrote my bit with the Sklars at the television office. Mm. And the thing that I was by far most excited about, and this is a job that our producer, Brian Fernandez, had for a while, was just that there was someone who wrote down things we thought of. Like, the luxury of just walking around thinking of things while someone else writes it down, you feel like I felt like an absolute king during that time. And then they brought me a fucking
sandwich. Hold on. Let me get that part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, there's someone there doing that, you have to learn to do like you say something. Okay, don't write that for the room. Don't write that for the room.
Yeah.
I mean, Jordan, you know, because we've written a lot of things together. Like, in general, I really like sitting at the keyboard and typing things into the keyboard and like shaping things and stuff. Like picking particular words. Like, you think of 3/4 of the jokes. But I'm pretty good at thinking of the right word for something. And I love doing that.
I was just sitting here thinking of story hump. I still don't know what that thing is that I was thinking of.
And, like, I do like the feeling of like picking and shaping and those things. Mm-hmm. But it's nothing compared to the idea that you could just do a bunch of painkillers and lie on your back, David Milch style, while someone projects your thoughts onto the wall.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
Nick, do you think that how in person do you think TV writing will be in the future? Do you think do you think it's all Zoom all the time now?
I think there are definitely going to be studios and shows where they try to just save money and keep it, you know, remote. I don't think there's anything like being in a room. I mean, I honestly feel like it's better for the show overall. I've worked on shows during this period of time, and I think you can still do good work, but, like, I don't know. I want to be in the room and just say stupid shit and have someone go, no, wait, that could be something. And you're like, oh, really? I just said some dumb shit out loud. Please make it better. You know,
if you want to make television, you're going to need a featureless conference room in Burbank.
That's just how it works. I have this rant about all these companies that get into the business of TV, right? Like, Amazon did it, Apple did it, and they all think they can reinvent the wheel because they're like Silicon Valley smart guys and not just these burnouts and stoners and snorting the nose candy down in SoCal, right? Like, right. We got the algorithm.
While you guys were snorting nose candy, we've been microdosing.
We're way, way ahead of you. And then remember when Amazon did that thing where you had to, like, they put the pilots on the thing and then you had to watch the pilot and vote on the pilot and they said, we'll make more of this. And then if they don't choose yours, you're all mad.
Like, yeah. You can choose the one from Whit Stillman or you can choose the one from Doonesbury creator Gary Trudeau.
Gotta give Whit Stillman a break.
I know. Just, for everybody.
And then they all just figure out, no, you just have to, like, let a bunch of these knuckleheads be in a conference room all day and figure it out. Like, that's the – and sometimes it fails horribly. It's not good. It's the same people making the shitty shows. It's making the really good ones.
Also, no matter how rich and successful you are, your office should be shitty.
Yeah.
level of shittiness of the most successful, extraordinary – like – you go to, like, I went to Mel Brooks's office one time and it was shitty.
Like, great memorabilia, but the fundamentals of the office, like, no one has tried to upgrade the furniture, nothing. It's just,
like, it is, it's not even like the kind of auto parts store, a kind of auto parts dealer that, like, has warehouses of auto parts. It's like an auto parts dealer that just deals with the logistics of hiring people to move auto parts here and there. Mm-hmm. You know, like, nobody's getting their hands dirty. It's just like 3 people in an office and like 2 outside sales reps.
Yeah, I think just everyone in TV has had that experience where you start something and then for a reason you don't quite understand, you just have to leave the job. The job is just over. The show is not here anymore. No. We were going to do it. Now we're not going to do it. So, yeah, I think the kind of transient nature of it makes you kind of not want to put anything on the wall.
I was working on a short-lived NBC sitcom called Truth Be Told, and they announced the Coach reboot. And so then the Coach production offices set up like right across the suite from ours. And, you know, Kirk T. Nelson's Porsche would show up some mornings and then they just went away. They just, at someone at CBS was like, Coach, what do No, let's don't. And it just was gone. I don't even think there was an announcement. It just stopped.
Do you think maybe Dauber fucked somebody's wife?
Yeah, Dauber. Out of line.
Yeah, Dauber got canceled.
Dauber just plowed his way through the executive base at CBS. Just indiscriminately.
They see that bald spot and that blonde hair coming. I'll say this. If I could go back and tell like teenage me or even college me, like, this is the job, okay? This is what the day in the life of a comedy writer looks like. I would have dropped out of school so quickly and just like gotten on a Greyhound bus to Hollywood and like pull out a typewriter on the bus and start typing up spec scripts. Like,
seriously. Fade in, interior coach's house. Coach and his wife are really going at it.
Dauber is plowing his way through all the executives at CBS.
We have an
interior CBS conference room.
This kid, he's
Dauber's laying pipe.
He hasn't graduated. He's a dropout, but he's got this hard R Dauber spinoff. It's hilarious. I know. I didn't think it would work.
Stallone is attached to play Dauber.
Just get into it. The biggest advantage in life is these knuckleheads who like worked on the Lampoon. And then like, it's not even that the experience that they're getting or the connections. It's the fact that you can know this is all the job is. This is it. You just hang out in a room and like story ideas and joke ideas. This is somebody else, like you said, somebody else writes it down. You don't even have to write it down. The most writing you do is to write the spec script to try to get the job. And then you get the job and you're just talking all day. Like somebody else does the writing. It's incredible.
Yeah, man. If you're lucky, you get to meet Dauber.
God, you guys are really lucky. You get to see that famous pipe.
Oh, man. This Welcome thing is show, incredible. Kid. It's Take always the dumbest yeah. guys yep, with the most incredible cranks. They had
that's
two
the name
great
of your I mean, memoir.
That's what's special about Coach, I think, is, you know, a lot of shows have one guy with an incredible crank who's dumb. Coach had two dumb guys, both had incredible cranks.
Right. My favorite story about Jerry Van Dyke, and I don't know if this has been confirmed, but this is what I heard. He was offered the role of Gilligan. In Gilligan's Island. This is Jerry Van Dyke of Coach fame. He was offered the role of Gilligan in Gilligan's Island. I'm a serious actor. This is ridiculous. Getting slapped by this guy's hat and they're stuck on an island. I'm not doing this. Okay. Of course, Gilligan's Island, incredible success. And I think the next year or the year after that, Jerry Van Dyke was the star of My Mother, the Car. About someone whose mom dies and is reincarnated as a fucking car.
When are we? When
Fool
is
me
show
once,
business?
Shame on you.
I'm not going to let the gravy train go by twice.
No. When is show business getting back to the absurdly high concept sitcom is the only form of comedy?
100%. Like, we need a body swap hit.
Yeah, right, like we, week. Sure. I know what you're saying. We had Homeboys from Outer Space. But since then,
we weren't ready.
There was
we
the Geico ready. Caveman sitcom with Nick Kroll. But where is the My Mom Was Reincarnated as a why aren't you pitching this, Nick?
Sure.
Yeah, Jordan, get in these meetings. Call your manager, get some meetings. Pitch something about three dogs.
I'm gonna walk into a meeting and just be like inanimate object. And then like thing that happens to that inanimate object and then person who's responsible for it. And you just spin a wheel and it's like dog, alien, nephew, go.
Yeah. And one of the characters is played by Raven from That's So Raven, and you're the dad, Nick.
Yeah, there we go.
And her room's always smelling like fish.
You just come in and you say, what are you doing? What are you doing, car?
Oh, car.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Our thanks to the people who make this show possible. That's the members of Maximum Fun. We got a Max Fun Drive coming up in April. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you're not already a member of MaxFun, you can become one now. In the meantime, our thanks to all who have become members. You're the juice in our jelly jars. You know what I mean, Jordan?
You got to have juice. You know
that famous expression?
You got to have juice or the jelly ain't jamming.
You got it. This podcast sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Jordan, you and I are both real therapy lovers.
We love it. We like to kiss it. We want to marry it.
Pretty much. It has not agreed to marry us yet, but we're still a courting.
Sure. Yes. We're sitting on the porch having a lemonade.
We're in a canoe with therapy.
Mm-hmm. Classic courting.
There are lots of ways to get therapy. I've done several of them. One that's available to you no matter where you live or whether you have access to an in-person therapy or community clinic or whatever is BetterHelp. You can get an online therapist in under 48 hours through BetterHelp, which I think is a heck of a turnaround. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And yeah, it's great that there's all kinds of options for people looking for therapy, and BetterHelp could be the right one for you. And yeah, and we really hope that if you are out there considering therapy, maybe you're having a rough one, maybe you just, you know, need somebody to talk about life's gunk with. Therapy is a really, really great way to invest in yourself. It'll make life better. And yeah, and BetterHelp might be a way to get that.
Give it a try. See why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp Online Therapy. This podcast, sponsored by BetterHelp, and Jordan Jesse Go listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/JJGo. That's BetterHelp.com/JJGo. We're also brought to you this week by the good people at Magic Spoon, known the world over as the only breakfast cereal which my kid Frankie calls Magic Poon.
I'm surprised that you say that so often, and yet they still sponsor the show. Good for them. You know, good for them.
If they can't handle the truth,
good on them.
They don't listen.
That's true.
And you know what? We're closing deals because Magic Spoon is good.
Yeah, like Magic Spoon. Yeah, Magic Spoon is really, really tasty. We do late night records. Not that late. We wrap around 10 p.m. And I very consistently go in the kitchen and grab a little Magic Spoon as a midnight snack. But you can have it for breakfast. You can have it for lunch. It's got 0 grams of sugar, 140 calories, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. There's so many great flavors. What do we got, Jesse? We got cocoa, fruity, frosted.
Peanut butter. That's my jam. You know that.
Blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, maple waffle. It's all super, super tasty. I have not tried one flavor that I do not like. And if you want a little deal, we can help you out. Go to magicspoon.com/JJGo.
We got a cousin over there at Magic Spoon.
He gets a Magic Spoon that fell off the truck. See? Yeah. Go to magicspoon.com/JJGo to grab a custom bundle of cereal, and be sure to use our promo code JJGO at checkout to save $5 off your order.
And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of cereal at magicspoon.com/JJGO and use the code JJGO to save $5 off.
Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Nick, repeat Adams.
Nick, have you ever had this thing? In fact, I'm announcing this is the end of inappropriate media calls.
And Tom Brady.
What a ride.
Yeah, also what a Tom ride Brady. It's been. This is in honor of me just giving up and letting my child watch whatever she wants, which has been going shockingly fine. If it's something that I really would be opposed to her watching, she consistently gets bored in the first 15 minutes and turns it off and wanders away. But we've been talking about seeing inappropriate things, and you were telling us, Nick, during the break that you were allowed to watch anything.
Pretty much anything. There were certain things that, like, if we were watching a VHS with my mom and there was nudity, she would, like, sometimes make me cover my eyes. But then also I was watching She's Gotta Have It with my mother and my grandmother, and there's, like, a rape scene in that movie. Like, yeah. My mom was just, like, I think too shocked to move. She was just like, okay, we're in it now. It's happening. But famously, we were kids, and we went to go see the original Friday the 13th in theaters, and I was eight, I believe, seven or eight.
Wait, you went as a family?
It's just a nice family Sunday afternoon.
After church on Sunday?
I was staying with my relatives, my cousins, and their parents just took us to the movies. And there was also, you have to understand, like, parents didn't know what the movie was. Like, now,
right.
You've seen the trailer. You know that the people fell in love when they were making it, and then they had to do reshoots. And you know all of this stuff back then.
We have, like, common sense media. At the time, they just had a list of names of movies in a corner of the newspaper.
And you're just like, you get there at 8 o'clock and you just see whatever you see. I don't think they knew maybe what it was.
And I think that our parents were at the time probably unaware at how fucking crazy horror movies had gotten.
Yeah. Slasher was, like, just starting then, really. Like,
yeah. I think the horror movies of their childhood was, like,
The Blob.
You know, The Wolfman. Yeah. The Blob. So I think that. You know, and it's like, that is something that a kid would see. Like, you take your kids, they throw their popcorn at Dracula, and that's exactly.
They didn't know that, like, someone was stabbing a knife through Kevin Bacon's throat, making a blood fountain. Like, they didn't know that was happening.
And then it was a metaphor for the gas crisis.
starting in the late 70s, horror movies were either genuinely horrifying, genuinely terrifying, or had, like, piles of guts and spurts of blood. And before that, horror movies just had particularly intense chiaroscuro, the interaction between light and dark in the composition of an image. Sure. Just some parts of the screen were particularly dark and others were overlit to make things seem ominous. That was what defined a horror movie until 1974 or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's probably why our generation has a lot of these, is that we... You know, they just heard that, like, The Exorcist was a scary movie.
Also, some people had HBO at the time, and it was thrilling if you even knew somebody that had HBO. Like, I didn't have cable. My television didn't even have knobs. Like, but if you knew somebody that had HBO, you would watch anything that was on HBO, and you felt like you were cheating the fucking system. Mm-hmm. You're like... Look, I may be watching Last Action Hero, but I didn't pay $7 to get into a movie theater to see it. So also, fuck you.
Also, you didn't just watch The Last Action Hero one time either.
No.
Oh, Sunday at 4:30. Oh, look what's on the old HBO.
Yeah, here toys again. Why not?
Last third of toys.
My best buddy, one of my best buddies, when I was, like, elementary school and middle school age, Jody's mom was English. And so they had this, like, not only did they have cable, they had a satellite dish, like a real satellite dish, not like a direct TV. Yeah. Like the kind that they have it to find out if aliens are sending us messages in Hawaii. Like a 40-mile wide depression in the earth surrounded by jungle they had, so that Jody could watch Danger Mouse and Jody's mom could watch EastEnders. The amount of emotional energy being poured into watching the English soap opera, long-running English soap opera, EastEnders, was extraordinary. And I would go to their house and I'd just watch it. I'd be like, what the fuck is this? Like, what the fuck is this? But I was so tired of, like, trying to turn, you know, there's the straight line knob and then outside of the straight line knob, there's the roundy, like there's the click, click, click knob, and then there's the roundy. And I'd be so tired of trying to get channel 44 so that I could watch, I don't know, Star Trek The Next Generation or like whatever the fuck, like a rerun of, you know, Cheers, not even Cheers, Night Court, you know, just by turning that little thing.
Get some wings going.
Yeah, like.
Gotta get some wings going.
They'd have a, they had a.
I gotta get my Weber.
Soccer game coming straight into their house from space. Yeah. And I'll be like, yeah, I'll watch a fucking soccer game. They just kick it back and forth in the middle.
It's, two things. I think letting your kid kind of watch what they want to watch is great. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing if I didn't just see shit that I shouldn't have seen, like 10 years ahead of schedule or whatever. But also, there was something incredible to like, this is what I can get, and I'm just going to like make myself watch it. Like, I didn't, no one explained to me what Doctor Who was. No, I didn't have any context. I was like, is this serious? It's not camp, but it's also right. not like, serious, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't, and it was just on PBS where I grew up, and I would just try every couple of like months. I would be like, let me just watch this Doctor Who. And nope, I don't get it. I don't. But yeah. You had to try because there was no other option. If you're some not people gonna watch this, you're not watching anything.
Some people resent MASH. I think in our generation because it's not that funny. But was the most successful television sitcom of all time. And like as an 8-year-old or whatever, you know, MASH is on the television because my dad put MASH on it because MASH ran from 6 to 7 or whatever. Yeah. Like I would sit there and I would watch MASH and I would make myself enjoy Hot Lips Houlihan. You know what I mean? Like, let's go. I get it. I will get it, just white-knuckling my way through enjoying MASH. And it worked. I still have fond memories about MASH.
I remember watching Saturday Night Live, and I believe it was a Tim Kazurinsky bit. He mentions Spiro Agnew and kickbacks. And I just remember going, that's politics. Yeah. I don't know who. I don't get it. But I'm pretty sure that's
mad
politics.
At Spiro Agnew.
You're like, oh, that fucking teapot dome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I hate it. Chippy Canoe and Tyler too.
Letterman just said Boutros.
Oh, yeah. And you just like were killing.
Yep. Yep. Norman Schwarzkopf.
Yeah. Sure. Those are pure comedy names that the writers made those names up. Clearly, yeah. There's Boutros Valleys. Like, you're just like
Stormin Norman. How could that possibly be a real man's name?
Mary Jo Buttafuoco.
So,
adults, these
Brian,
aren't real adults.
Brian, we have a call here. There's just such a huge place in my heart for just David Letterman, instead of doing jokes, just repeating names that he enjoyed and words he liked.
I once submitted for Conan O'Brien, right? You guys know what this is like. If you know, like,
yeah.
Every now and then, if you're a comedy writer, you get the word, the bat signal goes out, The Daily Show, Conan, they're looking for writers. Do you want to do a packet? It's a lot of work. I don't necessarily, this isn't what my dream job, but I gotta try, right?
Yeah, they're like, right, you have to write 25 monologue jokes in one sketch and into one topical thing and one character thing, whatever. So you basically got to do a week's worth of work on the show to apply for the show.
So I was like, I know Conan doesn't really do audience games, but it's a talk show thing. So I came up with this audience game. It's my favorite thing that I've ever written. It's never, ever going to be on TV in any capacity. But it's just an audience game.
You might slip it into an episode of Black-ish.
You never know. I got to hurry because they just wrapped.
Still time.
Yeah, still time. The game is very simply NBA basketball player or democratically elected foreign leader whose power was usurped during a U.S.-backed coup.
this is like to you, like just as Larry Sanders was the essence of Gary Shandling, his emotional trials and tribulations, decades of his relationship to himself and to the entertainment industry, to relationships with other professionals, so on and so forth, just a fundamental expression of his identity. He'd gone through these sort of genre experiments to get there. He'd done It's Gary Shandling's show. He'd hosted The Tonight Show. He decided he wanted to do something about his core emotional truth. That's you with NBA player or foreign leader usurped by American interference.
The names line up so perfectly, though. Eduardo Nájera. Eduardo.
Coup.
NBA basketball player.
NBA basketball player. That's how you find
this
out
fun.
How many
this
Guatemalan presidents were named J. Rue.
Ruben Boomche Boomche. Ruben Boomche Boomche.
Boomche Boomche is an NBA basketball player. I remember Boomche Boomche. Gotta remember Boomche Boomche.
Kalina as a bookie. Come on. It's too great.
It's great. It's too bad Conan O'Brien never liked interacting with other human beings. He's one of the greatest. Love him so much. Conan O'Brien, great genius. Fucking the greatest.
We
can't beat Conan O'Brien.
Wedding photographer. Just yeah. A little.
Oh, that's fun.
God.
Tell that's, you how I roll.
Well, hey, now that Brian, yeah, let's play the final instance of inappropriate media.
Hey, Jordan. Hey, Jesse. Hey, Go. And special guest. I'm calling in about your segment, Inappropriate Things That You Watched With Your Grandmother. So when I was a child, and by child I mean when I was 14 years old, I went and saw Titanic with my grandmother. She was the only person to see Titanic with. And she was a lovely, short woman, but she was very bubbly and
wonderful. Can you pause it for a second, Brian? I just want to clarify something here. That's not a but. Short people can be wonderful. Being wonderful is not dependent on your height. It's normal for short people. It is as normal for short people to be bubbly and wonderful as any other height of person.
He wanted you to know that he didn't have one of those tiny, weaselly, creepy grandmothers.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Sneaky. Yeah. Sneaky shorties.
You're too thin. Your skin and bones. Just like, you know.
I got a therapist who, like a year into Zoom therapy, told me she was super short. Like, she's really short. Fucking exploded my brain. But it's proof. Delightful people can be very short. Who knows? Maybe tall people can be delightful too. Like, really tall people, like Bol Bol. That's an NBA player, by the way.
Free Bol Bol. Or is he a democratically elected foreign leader whose power was usurped during a U.S.-backed coup?
I think Manute Bol was a democratically elected leader. Wasn't he for a while after he was like the Secretary of Sport in Sudan or something? I think that's true. Okay,
Manute Bol rumored to have invented the phrase, my bad.
Oh.
True story.
Thrilling. That and Dusty Baker inventing high fives is all we really need to know about. Go ahead, Brian.
That's pretty great.
And Glenn Burke, gay baseball player, Glenn Burke. Go ahead, Brian.
And during the nude drawing scenes, my 67-year-old grandmother reached across and covered my 14-year-old eyes. So that's my story about inappropriate things that occurred when I was a child.
That whole story, Brian, you just picked a story about anti-short bigotry. It's the only reason to pick that is to highlight,
Yeah, Brian, stop trying to slip your agenda into the show.
Brian, you're not even that tall. You're like tall-ish, but you're not like, it's not like you're 6'6", Brian. Where do you get off? I guess it's the narcissism of small differences.
Hmm.
Hey, have you ever had the thought, Nick, while you're watching an NBA basketball game, since you enjoy it? I've been watching a lot. I bought the NBA streaming thing so I could watch Warriors games with my son. And I gave him my $100 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And when I'm watching a basketball game, occasionally I just have the really intense revelation that the smallest guy is bigger than me.
Yeah.
That like these guys who look like a 5'8" like sneaky fast guy that you know, mm-hmm. like a guy that can like do moves because they're so, I mean, I'm specifically Jordan talking about our friend Jim Real. Like a small fast guy that is really agile and can jump around and is like surprisingly muscly that you know.
Mm-hmm. They're very sprightly.
You think it's that guy, but actually that guy is 6'7".
Yeah. Yeah. I always tell people, go out on the street and find five guys over 6'3" or 6'4" that can walk and chew gum at the same time. Like, I'm not talking about doing drills or any, just actually walking and chewing gum at the same time without like falling over their feet.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Like, I think NBA basketball is the greatest evidence we have that if we focus enough and we spend enough money and enough attention and enough cultural capital, you can get anyone to do anything, because these 6'11" people are born to trip. Yeah, like they're born to be uncomfortable, bang their knees on things. I know, because I do these things all the time and I'm only like 6'3", 6'4". So these 6'11" guys are just like, their natural state is accidentally walking into something.
Yeah.
And we have taught them to basically, like, through the sheer force of noticing when they're 6 years old that they're going to be 6'10", we have basically taught them to be like George Balanchine. Like, they're Jim Thorpe because of the force of humankind's power.
The Chinese government does it right. Like, they identify your toddler and they're like, yo, he's a gymnast. Stop playing games with us. We see it. We're gonna take him and go let him.
He doesn't need to learn to read.
No, he's never reading anything ever. We're just gonna start him flipping now, and he's gonna keep flipping until he gets to the Olympics. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah,
this kid.
That's the Chinese government's motto: get to flipping.
Get to flipping. Pau Gasol was like in medical school. They were just like, "What are you doing? Yeah. You're taking a spot from someone else. Get out of here."
Someone of typical size.
Yeah, you can't even fit into... We don't have scrubs this big. Get out
we'll
of here.
We'll give you a millionaire job. We'll just give it to you. In the NFL, there's this thing where you can have like one guy on your roster that comes from a foreign country that is not like a football country. Like just one extra guy. And mm-hmm. so just every NFL team just has like one enormous Samoan guy or whatever, or like one Pacific Islander guy from New Zealand that was like the fastest rugby player in all of rugby or something. And like their job is just like, there's a guy who worked for that team who just traveled the world looking for the biggest fast guy he could find.
Yeah.
And then like 2 years later, that guy can play in the NFL because they just use computers to reprogram his brain and muscles.
No, you hit the two nails on the head though. Like, is he big? Yes. Is he fast? Nope. Sorry. Is he fast? Yes. Is he big? Sorry. Is he big? Yes. Is he fast? He's really fast. Holy shit. This is the job for him.
Like, but if you're 325 pounds and you're able to grow muscles, like, they can teach you to do that swimmy thing with your hands, and then you're an NFL lineman.
Right.
Like, if you can do the swimmy thing with your hands well enough, that's okay. When something momentous happens to you, 206-984-4FUN is the number to call, or jjgo@maximumfun.org. Here's an example of one person who did that. By the way, jjgo@maximumfun.org. Just send us a voice memo. It sounds nice. The little microphone inside your phone is really good these days. jjgo@maximumfun.org.
Hi, Jordan, Jesse, Sunny D, and guests. I'm going to say Ron Funches. This is Ren in Boise with a momentous occasion. I was just in traffic at a red light, and I watched as this squirrel came running up to my car. It dipped underneath my car. I didn't see it come out. I didn't want to run over it. But I looked in my mirror at the guy behind me, and he was watching it all happen. He put his head out the window and was like screaming at the squirrel, trying to get it to move. The light turned green, and he blared on his horn. The squirrel ran away, And as I was driving away, I looked back at him one more time, and he had his whole head out the window. He was yelling at the squirrel and wagging his finger at it, I guess chiding it. So yeah, just wanted to say, if that guy's listening, thank you for saving a life. And yeah, shouts out to you. Thanks, guys.
What's
love the
better
show.
If this guy was yelling words at the squirrel, or if this guy was just yelling a noise?
Right, because you know the squirrel. Yeah, it's like the squirrel will maybe understand your tone.
Maybe. I mean, if the squirrel is a chihuahua that's lived in a house for a long time.
Right.
Or if you're a nut, like a tree nut of some kind. Like, when is, but like, what is better if you're like, because the squirrel doesn't speak English. He doesn't speak any human language, honestly. Or one
this,
of even one of the space languages from Star
is this
Wars.
Like
or Star
an
Trek.
Urban squirrel, though? Is this like a park squirrel that's around people a lot?
Wow, an urban squirrel, huh? Who's racist now, Nick?
But like, they, you know, you're in the park, you okay, you kind of get a sense of what people.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean?
You're a little more socialized than a deep forest squirrel.
But if he's yelling, like, get out of the way, squirrel, get out of the way, get out of the way. It's weird because the squirrel doesn't know what the words he's saying are.
Also, right. He's tiny and can't hear anything over the tremendous roar of two automobile engines.
You know, Nick, can I say,
inches from his squirrel ears.
Tiny squirrels can hear just as well as big, tall squirrels.
Right, they're I'm sorry.
They're
I'm sorry.
Also nice.
So what?
Times are changing. I'm trying.
Either you're doing that. Either you're yelling
that's
words.
Good that you're learning and growing. Nick.
Either you're learning. Yelling words at an animal that's not domesticated. Doesn't understand the tone. I disagree that the squirrel understands our tone. Or what if you're just going, blah, blah? Like you're just making a noise.
Yeah.
Which is better? I don't know.
I always subscribe, whenever this happens to you in an urban setting with like a bird or a squirrel. Just,
or a suburban or exurban setting, Nick.
You're in your GMC Denali and there's like a tiny, one of those tiny grandmas that you can't see.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Oh boy, oh
just
boy.
Eyes ahead, don't, like, maybe you hit the squirrel. Just keep it, you know what, you can't fix it. You can't, what is there to learn? What are we going to earn, get from that? Like, just, you want to see the squirrel that you hit in your rearview mirror? No, just...
You believe that whether or not you hit the squirrel is fated. You believe it's been written upon the tablet by God.
It's under the
wheel. And so you might as well just lock your eyes so you don't notice.
Yeah. You don't want to take that memory home to your family? Come on.
Do you feel the same way about grandmas?
Give them that. How?
Do we have agency? Is your idea of human agency that we have agency over whether we hit a grandma? But we don't have agency over whether we hit a squirrel.
Tiny,
and God draws the line
grandma.
Somewhere around sure. maybe like
a
red
gave us
panda.
Dominion over animals.
Yeah. But not
as
grandmas.
They, as your
but
grandma
the Lord
shrink.
Gave us, the Lord did give us dominion over grandmas. Be if they be small, said he.
Right.
As
and they
shrink.
Don't be bubbly.
As they shrink, natural selection takes over. And if... Your Yukon Denali, or I don't know the names of any trucks. It's not even the trucks. It's that they jack them up. Like, you know, they jack these trucks up. But if, you know, a grandma or two gets caught under the wheel well, the spokes or whatever they're called.
One time when I was a kid, maybe I was 10, I got hit by a grandma that went to my church. Her car hit me. Do you think that was a like that new Batman movie where it's like... Vengeance.
That's your origin story?
Vengeance.
Oh,
that's
right.
What that grandma was saying. Vengeance upon this child from my church. She didn't hit me that hard. It was like at a stoplight. She
did
just kept
you,
rolling.
But did you murder her family in Crime Alley?
Well, duh. I mean, she's so fucking little. That's what God told me to do. God, well, he didn't tell me, but he gave me permission. It's in the fucking Bible, Jordan.
Oh, man, you're so twisted. Joker.
You wouldn't believe how dim the light is in here right now.
You're so twisted.
You know what?
You just love chaos. You just want to watch it burn.
Jordan, a lot of people think I'm for kids, but I'm fucking dark and twisted, okay?
Yeah.
I am dark and twisted. I'm not for kids. I don't have to be for kids. Sure, there's
for babies.
There's people out there for little kids with fucking bright colors and goofy shit happening. I'm dark and twisted. My lighting is very dim. My color palette is limited.
with my butler. That's what you think when you think of like a tough guy going through it. It's like, yeah. Fuck, bring me a sandwich.
bring me a sandwich, Gollum from Lord of the Rings.
Bring me a sandwich.
When's the cable guy coming?
I thought it was 10 to 12. I have Pilates at 11:40.
Oh, gee whiz. They got
so
Batman.
Dark and serious.
He's a dude
in a bat costume.
These Batman butlers they have is a real interesting group of, because I think Americans just think all English people are the same, you know, yeah. Like there's just one kind of person. It's English or not English.
Well, we know fancy English and then like, hey, governor, like, you know, Cockney. Yeah, right. We got those two.
Well, like for a while, it seemed like they made Batman's butler, Edgar. They made him fancy. Like butlers are supposed to be, right? Like they made him be like,
yeah, would
you care for a cucumber sandwich, Batman? I'm a funny old man with gloves, special gloves, right?
Perhaps you need some protein from all the vigilantism.
And then they were like, well, what if we had the butler be the guy from Get Carter? Right, like, let's make the butler like a fucking dirty shotgun carrying guy, Michael Caine. And then they were like, you know what, fucking Gollum, let's make it Gollum. Just full on Gollum is Batman's friend now. Anyway,
is he in the new one? It's that guy.
Yeah, it's that guy. Yeah.
He's not doing motion capture though, right?
He's.
I think they would know, but he has the dots on. I think they just decided not to animate him.
He's putting on his suit and they start putting the dots. No, but why are we doing the dots?
Well, I'm ready. I'm ready for acting.
No.
This is what acting is.
I think why the reason Andy Serkis is so good at those motion capture roles, and not a lot of people know this, is that he was born with those balls.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he... That's, you know, why he's the great genius of motion capture.
They don't have to put them on with the glue.
Yeah, it's also a big time saver. Yeah.
Can I ask you, are they a type of testicle on Sir Andy Serkis? Are they like a tiny green?
Jesse, that's rude. I was
17 extra testicles placed metrically along his body.
Jordan, you know Andy Serkis, but you've never asked him that question. It seems like an obvious question.
I would never ask him if they're testicles.
The two of you are having lunch at Spago. Okay. Yeah. People,
there's so many other things to talk about.
Bruce Willis is coming over and say, oh, Gollum, yeah. I love your motion capture. I love your dots.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not even like, I feel like Bruce would ask. Like Bruce would come over.
Well, yeah, he's I'm not though. And I don't want him. I don't want Andy to think that I'm hanging out with him for any reason other than that I like his company. You know?
Even though he knows how much he loves balls.
It's like Vietnam. You can't say nom unless you were there. You can't say mocap. You have to say motion capture.
Right.
Exactly.
But you have an incredible passion, Jordan, for testicles, like especially little tiny ones. And it feels like if Andy knew that, you would have to clear the whole thing up. You'd have to clear the air just so that it wouldn't be weird when the two of you hung out. Like, I think it would be weird to ask, but it would, given that he knows, like, if you see somebody with really nice hangers walking down the street, you're going to say something to Serkis. So Andy Serkis knows.
It's rude if you don't. It's rude, honestly, if you don't acknowledge it.
Yeah. Andy Serkis knows your passions. I mean, he knows your heart. He knows you're a good man with a genuine passion for testicles, especially little white or green ones.
Yeah, I mean, I think
which again are placed in evenly spaced intervals,
spaced
all on Andy Serkis.
So you can track his movements.
Normally, Jordan to see the green for Jordan to see the green testicles. Normally, he has to search the internet for gangrenous balls.
Yeah, I mean, I think if Andy wants to talk to me about his medical history, he's welcome to. I'm his friend.
That's HIPAA,
I'm not
going
to push the issue because in this case, I do neglect the balls.
Wow.
I do.
Well done.
206-984.
The only situation where you do neglect the ball.
20698. I'm glad we abandoned that sincere talk about our craft and got into this bullshit.
It took a while, but we got to the balls. It
20698 4 fun or jjgo@maximumfun.org. La, 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 la,
la, la. Maximum Fun is a network by and for cool, popular people. But did you know it also has an offering designed to appeal to nerds?
A show for nerds? On Maximum Fun, the devil, you say?
It's true. It's called The Greatest Generation, and they review episodes of a television program for nerds called Star Trek. They've reviewed TNG, DS9, and are now reviewing Voyager.
Hey, Star Trek. My daughter enjoys that program.
Well, if she enjoys that and she enjoys humor of the flatulent variety, might I recommend she subscribe to The Greatest Generation?
Hey, are you calling my kid a nerd? Boy, I oughta...
Well, gotta go. Become a friend of DeSoto by subscribing to The Greatest Generation on MaximumFun.org today. La, la, la,
la, la, la, la, la. Hi, I'm Jesse Thorne, the founder of Maximum Fun, and I have a special announcement. I'm no longer embarrassed by my brother, and me. You know, for years, each new episode of this supposed advice show was a fresh insult, a depraved jumble of erection jokes, ghost humor, and frankly, this is for the best, very little actionable advice. But now, as they enter their twilight years, I'm as surprised as anyone to admit that it's gotten kind of good. Justin, Travis, and Griffin's witticisms are more refined, like a humor column in a fancy magazine. And they hardly ever say bazinga anymore. So, after you've completely finished listening to every single one of all of our other shows, why not join the McElroy brothers every week for my brother, and me? La, la, la,
la, la, la, la, la. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, Boy Detective.
Nick, Repeat Adams.
Now, Nick, I know you've worked on all kinds of television shows. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of them haven't been successful. A lot of the successful ones were primarily successful because of you promoting them here on Jordan Jesse Go.
Sure, sure.
Are there any shows that you've been working on lately that we can save or shoot into the stratosphere?
No, I've been working a lot of animation, which means you work on something and then it just comes out like 6 years later and nobody tells you and it's just on. And I've been developing a lot, which is code word for work that you don't get paid for in Hollywood. Mm-hmm.
But you know what I love so much about development? You know, it's either unpaid or it's low paid, but it's just such a nice excuse to get together with some nice executives every week and have them say grounded at you. I love to be told that something needs to be grounded, no matter what it is. Mm-hmm. Just having someone say grounded at me.
Can I make
where I
just
thrive.
Make it
Can
personal.
I make a suggestion?
Just make it personal.
Just yeah. On the first page where you have your dramatis personae. I know that all pitches and development projects start with a dramatis personae.
That's how they sold Entourage. Yeah. They just had that.
Right.
Just next to one of the characters, just write Torturo. It's fucking grounded. Now it's grounded.
Mm-hmm. Grounded.
You're going to have to set it in New York. But besides that, you know, unless it's like about bears in Yosemite or whatever, you can set it in New York. They
Braden
shoot it in
Torturo.
Toronto.
He's Nicholas Turturro's nephew.
Mm-hmm.
They're from Oxnard. He's outstanding.
Yeah, just get somebody from the Nard, Jordan. That'll ground it.
But he still has that New York flavor.
Hey,
you know?
I'm from Oxnard over here.
Oh, I'm trying to walk. I'm walking in Oxnard. Yeah.
I went to middle school with Madlib.
Yeah, eating meats over here.
Trying to get some famous Oxnard soup.
Well, Nick, we're always
eating Oxnard.
Real quick, Oxnard soup is a famous thing in Oxnard.
The youngest kid on Blackish.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. Shut up, Nick. I want to hear about this soup. Oxnard soup.
There's no Oxnard.
God damn it, Jordan. Why would you?
I wanted to say something funny.
Why would you trick me like that?
I'm having fun doing the voice, so I thought I'd say Oxnard.
Well, there's that whole part of California where they eat Basque food, but it's not Basque. It's just endemic only to San Bernardino and whatever. Yeah. Like,
it's too. This is your opportunity, Jesse, to just come up with some sort of bullshit gumbo or whatever that you make up and just call it Oxnard soup.
Yeah, there you go.
You know what? I had a lot of bok choy that might go bad, and so I made it. And I had some leftover chicken, so I made a very simple soup with a bunch of bok choy and a bunch of chicken left over. It was fucking great. So that's the class. That's the new Oxnard soup.
It needs one kind of wacky ingredient. Like, you got to throw, like, some sort of random pepper that Mexicans don't eat for a good reason.
Right.
And then some chef discovers it and gets...
What about one Hot Wheel? Drop a Hot Wheel in there. Boom, Oxnard soup.
Our producer is Brian Sonny D. Fernandez. Valerie Moffitt on the stream this week. Look, if you're on the West Coast, you want to stay up late on a Sunday evening, we've been streaming on the Max Fun YouTube channel. Go subscribe to that. Only live. You can't watch it afterwards. You can only listen to it afterwards like you're doing right now. But it's fun. It's nice to check in on how we're doing. Talk to Kids Dr. Dave. You know about Kids Dr. Dave? He checks in with me. He says, you guys streaming tonight? Yeah, Dave. We're streaming tonight.
I don't
tonight.
Know who that is.
Yeah, he's sounds great, Kids though. Doctor. He's a pediatrician in maybe Indianapolis, something like that.
Hmm. Fun.
Yeah, it's very fun.
I don't like the idea of pediatricians up late at night. You got to go to bed. I don't know why. I won't defend this position. Pediatricians go to sleep.
I'll be doing my kid's heart transplant if you're groggy.
Oh, God. I was watching the Nets Clippers last night. Ew.
Yeah. Anyway, let me get that little hammer that you bang on kids' knees.
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to make a mistake with the little hammer? Bang on their balls accidentally?
Yeah, sure.
Banging
the balls.
Bang up their nose. And that could go into the brain.
Bang the balls until they're 16.
And then they'll never get any mocap work.
You weren't there, man.
Our theme music is Love You.
you weren't in the shit.
Love You by The Free
You weren't
Design.
In the shit making Lord of the Rings.
Love You by The Free Design, courtesy of The Free Design and Light in the Attic Records. Our thanks.
You weren't there when Tim Burton was remaking Alice in Wonderland.
We had to do that smile from scratch, man. You think Depp did that smile? It was all us.
Very grateful. Very grateful to them for sharing that music with us. We're on Twitter at Jesse Thorne and at Jordan_Morris. We're on Instagram at Jordan David Morris and at put.this.on. We're on Reddit, maximumfun.reddit.com. You know who I bet's on that Reddit? Kids Dr. Dave. It's not just Woff Reaper anymore. Here comes Kids Dr. Dave.
Start chatting it up.
Yeah, that guy's on Reddit 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. The next day, he's got that little tiny hammer, and you never know what he's going to bang.
He's like a podiatrist. It's fine. It's like a kid's podiatrist.
children's bunions.
Yeah. Yeah. Ethan's got flat feet. Here's some orthodontics.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Some orthodontics.
Orthodontics.
No, he gives out orthodontics. Why not? He was up till 4 o'clock in the morning posting on dragonsfuckingcars.reddit.com.
Racist footwork. I got you covered. Whatever.
He was on the Boz Skaggs sub talking about the Lido shuffle.
Boz Skaggs.
Blah, 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 blah. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. Thanks for listening to Jordan Jesse Go. Goodbye.
I'll hug you and kiss you and love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Audience supported.